So today I'm down in the homeland of Brighton, and actually, you might not know this, it was the real birthplace of Honest Burgers. And today's guest is someone I've met because I interviewed her for a job that she didn't take. So maybe it was something I said or my aftershave or something. But it's the brilliant Gemma Barter, who's Senior Digital Market Manager at Honest Burgers. So we chat a little bit about Brighton and the Brighton area, and Gemma's from this area too. We then go on to Gemma's career, talk a bit about Honest Burger, talk a bit about Hawksmoor as well and her time there. And then we get stuck into how to approach digital in the right way, Gemma's thoughts about how to be successful in digital, and also Gemma's really honest, about the situation that she's in at Honest Burgers, in that, you know, it's an entrepreneurial company, budgets aren't huge, etc., etc. So most of you listening will be in the same boat. How do you handle that? How do you approach it? And how do you still make sure that your digital is world-class? Gemma's got all the answers. Here we go.
Supersonic.
Welcome to Supersonic Hospitality Marketing with me, Mark McSee, where we meet the most interesting people in hospitality, marketing, business, and beyond to hear tips, tricks, and tales to help your brand boom. This podcast is sponsored by Vita Mojo, the all-in-one restaurant management platform helping operators grow ATV, reduce tech complexity, and serve guests better. And now, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Vita Mojo is proud to be the headline sponsor of the Supersonic Marketing Podcast. Vita Mojo transforms chaos into confidence for hospitality operators worldwide, empowering brands to streamline order management and take control of their business. With its flexible end-to-end order management system, Vita Mojo gives you one central place to manage your menu across every channel, brand, and location. But Vita Mojo is much more than an out-of-the-box software solution. The Vita Mojo team are with you every step of the way, providing the partnership you need, the technology you want, and the experience your guests deserve, all in one place. Vita Mojo will help you adapt to whatever the world throws at your hospitality business. For more information, visit vitamojo.com/supersonic.
Hey Supersonic listeners, I'm Lucy, Head of Commercial at Airship and Toggle. I'm just interrupting this podcast to share a great opportunity for any operators out there. You might be aware, Airship is a leading hospitality marketing CRM, supporting operators by building a better understanding of their customers' visiting habits to help them target, personalise and automate marketing and deliver a return on investment. And Toggle, which is our gift card platform and generated a whopping £48 million for the sector in 2023 through the sale of prepaid gift cards, experiences, tickets and so much more. We're giving away any lucky listeners a chance to get 10% off both onboarding and license fees with either of our platforms for this series only. Just quote Supersonic when inquiring with us via our website on airship.co.uk or use toggle.com. And we look forward to speaking with you very soon.
So it gives me the most tribute and rosemary chips pleasure ever to introduce my next guest, who is Gemma Barter. And yes, with my Scottish accent, there's a lot of R's in that name. And she is Senior Digital Marketing Manager at Honest Burgers. Hello.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, all right, all right. I'm a bit gravelly, I think. You know, I was saying to you, this is an early start for me. Sort of anything before 10 a.m. I'm usually sort of winding up for the day. And it was one of those kind of late nights last night, you know, where you were going, I'm not going to do any work. You know, but 7 o'clock, you're like, right, no, I've got a life, I've got a life. And I thought, God, I'm only sitting watching The Sopranos anyway, right? Back on it. So yeah, ended up quite late finishing a few bits. So yeah, there's quite a lot going on at the moment with hospitality rising, and also just some sort of personal brand, so I'm kind of on that journey, and it's a lot of digital stuff, so I might be able to get some advice, you know, in terms of, you know, content and all that. Say again?
Love a bit of personal PR.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was just about time. I mean, I've always kind of dabbled, and I think LinkedIn has always been my favourite in a lot of ways. You know, I've always kind of treated that as, you know, Facebook with a suit on sort of idea. And I tend to try and find even the sort of slightest link to business to maybe post something that's quite interesting, you know, whereas a lot of people, you know, it's quite, yeah, very B2B in that sense, you know, it's kind of quite boring. It's also quite interesting on LinkedIn as well, where you see all this sort of subtext stuff, you know, it's almost like a dating site in a way, which is always kind of quite funny, you know, and you see people putting up a post and, you know, people then beneath going, well done, that's amazing, and you're like, the subtext is, will you hire me, please? Will you hire my company, you know? So it's, I quite enjoy seeing all the fakery of it all. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, like, what's the motive behind that comment?
Yeah, well, I mean, basically it's, you know, give me money, please, usually, in some way.
I think the hospitality community is quite good on there.
It
feels less B2B. And it's a lot more about kind of just sharing insight. You know, you've got the likes of Airship, who are very, very vocal on there. And
that's it.
That, which is, yeah, it's nice to see.
Yeah, it's really good. And I think the lucky thing for us is we can legitimately post food pics and things like that. Yeah. You know, whereas, you know, if it was someone from Barclays Bank, you'd be going, whoa, this isn't Facebook, mate. You know, so I think with us being in hospitality, we do have quite a width, really, and it's things that are interesting to people. And I think a lot of people, I mean, jealousy is maybe a bit too far, but I think about a lot of people wishing they worked in hospitality as well, you know, with the great things that we're up to. And you're right, the supplier community on in hospitality and how they promote themselves on LinkedIn and all the other channels, it's really, really strong. You know, it's almost a mini industry in its own right. And I think the thing was, Talty, everyone's so supportive of each other.
Absolutely.
You know, it's fun.
The shitter, excuse my language.
Yeah.
Tough few years.
It's
great.
Yeah, definitely. So where in the world are you today?
I am in my house in Clapham in London. Uh-huh. Working from home today so that we can get some good sound recorded. Our meeting rooms aren't that great in the office in Borough, so thought I'd stick at home and record this with you today. And you're down in Brighton, right?
Yep, the birthplace of Honest Burgers.
Yeah, Tom and Phil met at Brighton Uni working in Ridley and Finns. Is still there, yeah. And they sort of... Honest was born in a pub in Brighton after they met working together there. So, yeah.
Yeah, and actually I was thinking of you at the weekend there. I was out a wee walk down the beach and, God, what's the pub called? It's not the Tempest, it's the one next door. They've still got Honest Burgers. Are you still serving Honest Burgers out of there?
Not anymore. I can't remember what it's called either. No, we stopped that. I think it's really difficult to be able to sort of have that pride with your service and standards of getting food out in a place where you're not really properly operating.
Yeah.
Decided to come out of there. But yeah. Brighton's kind of my like hometown-ish. I'm a West Sussex girl down from Hayward Heath, so I know
Brighton. Very good. I think this area is just, you know, really quite fantastic, you know, in terms of, you know, you get the countryside, you get the beach, you get the shopping, you get all the great, you know, hotels, restaurants, all, you know, all the rest of it. And I really need to explore a little bit more, you know, and I've been here maybe 10 years, but I'm very Truman Show, you know, I'm very kind of, it's either Brighton or it's London, and then that's kind of it, you know. So just in terms of that then, if you started out in Double H, Hayward Heath, you know, what happened from there then? So that was sort of the end of school, going to uni, that kind of thing. You know, what? How did your career develop from there?
I went to Oxford Brookes and studied business and marketing. Kind of thought I wanted to go into like events marketing, that kind of thing. And then as you do after uni, you just apply for absolutely everything possible. Mm-hmm. applied for a marketing assistant role at Harvey Nichols, got the interview, and when upon more research, realised that it was actually the restaurant that they own in the Oxo Tower. So the restaurant, bar and brasserie up the top there,
mm-hmm.
on the floor. And so, yeah, I joined them and so fell into hospitality, but absolutely loved it. And then, so I was there for about 2.5 years, went over to Hawksmoor, was the marketing manager for the Knightsbridge restaurant specifically. Mm-hmm. It was quite fluffy marketing. It was good. It was great. It was very, very busy, very sociable because you're kind of making relationships with concierge and local businesses. Mm-hmm. However, it was the kind of digital side that I missed.
Mm-hmm.
And after 6 months, the digital marketing manager position opened up at Hawksmoor for the whole group. So I got that. They kind of saw that, believed in me. I didn't necessarily have the experience for the role, but I was very grateful for kind of that. And that really set my career off in digital marketing. And I ended up being there for 4 years, absolutely loved it. Amazing company to work for. Saw the pandemic through with all the meal kits and everything.
Yeah.
So kind of pivoted to e-commerce, which was a challenge, but a great learning journey. And then, yeah, came to Honest. And I've been at Honest for nearly 2 years now.
Yep. And we met
before. We did meet.
Yeah.
Nearly at the end of my Hawksmoor journey.
Mm, yeah. And you didn't join.
I know, sorry. However, you have now employed my friend from Hawksmoor, my very good friend and colleague, Sean Bates.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Sean's starting soon, I think. Yeah. We had a great interview with him. But that was just quite funny because I had a little mind lapse. And then when you said about, you know, I just kind of read the first bit of the interview and I thought, oh, did we not take her? I was like,
no.
I had to think back and I was like, oh, thank God. That's going to be an awkward podcast.
Yeah, I decided to stay at Hawksmoor for a bit longer. I think I was 4 months and then went to
the rest. And so just going back to Hawksmoor for a bit then, what did you find then? So going into digital marketing and you hadn't really done it before, how did you approach it? You know, what was the first few things that you wanted to get down? How did you learn a bit more about it? And also in that wonderful world of e-com, it's a completely different ballgame, right? You know, how e-com works versus restaurants. So yeah, what did you sort of find then, you know, starting out? Because there'd be a lot of people that have been in your position, you know, they fall into hospitality, they fall even further into marketing, and that's such a great phrase. It just, you know, be great advice for people, you know, where to start really.
Yeah, I think on the face of it, kind of digital is what you see as a customer. So you put yourself in the shoes of the customer. What's the website journey like? What are the social media channels like? Sign up to their emails and what's kind of going on with their emails? And then you've got to start kind of learning and understanding how to improve those key channels. So you can see it from a customer. Does it feel good? Does the journey feel good? Do I engage with this brand on those kind of digital channels? And then you've got to put your kind of digital marketing hat on and then understand how you make that better through various different strategies. So I personally I went into that role reporting to the head of marketing who didn't necessarily have a huge amount of digital marketing experience. Mm-hmm. So it was about learning on the job. It was about adapting. It was about reading as much as possible, attending events, webinars. And obviously digital is extremely fast paced. So just keeping your finger on the pulse of what's happening. So I think you look at it from a customer point of view and how that feels. How are you receiving that information? And then understand how you can make that better through, you know, technical SEO, content SEO, ranking better. What's the UX on the website like? How to make the emails more personalized? And then it goes from there. It's a big job. It's a lot of different areas, but I really enjoy having kind of my finger in all the pies. Learning about various different channels.
Yeah, I mean, I think the friction always seems to be that to do it well can be expensive, you know, because you've got kind of the internal bit. And I think a lot of hospitality companies are really good at that. But I always think about marketing as owned, paid and earned.
Mm-hmm.
And The owned bit they seem to be quite good with, but the bit that they don't hire the right people to do, or they don't do at all, or, you know, is that kind of amplification paid bit? So, you know, looking at things like Google Ads and, you know, technical SEO, programmatic advertising, you know, all these kind of things. I mean, how far did you get with Hawksmoor to be able to, you know, get your hands on that stuff as well? You know, did you have budgets available to do that amplification piece as well?
Yeah, it was very small to begin with. And so I'm trying to think what year it would have been. Maybe like 2017 or so, around then maybe. I can't remember. And it was kind of like, I managed to join them at a point where they really started focusing on how important digital was. And it was really great to work for a company where you didn't have to really build business cases for the investment. It was like, we want to invest in digital. We're going to do this. Let's have a look at a digital agency. And I kind of went on that journey with them. So I was very lucky in that sense. Don't get me wrong, we never had kind of huge paid social budgets or anything like that. But it meant that, you know, website was the first focus. We brought on a creative website agency and we kind of helped that move that forward. So I was lucky enough to kind of join at the part when they were starting to invest in digital.
And have you got, you know, sort of preferences, you know, in terms of all of the tools that you've got available to you? Is there, you know, in your current role and in previous roles, are there some channels that just work better than others, you know, when you're measuring in that way?
At Honest, we have a lack of data on our customers. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult with email marketing to see exactly what we're achieving there. So whereas CRM with Hawksmoor was great because we had those emails when they were booking. Honest is primarily walk-in, for those that don't know, whereas Hawksmoor, you're usually booking a table. So you can kind of measure that return on who's coming back after an email. Paid social, again, it was different at both of them. Hawksmoor, it was great. We had that call to action. You couldn't track through to the open table page because you're off on a different domain, but you could kind of look at the average number that actually went through to click, take off the cancellations of no-shows and get a there and thereabouts estimated revenue. Whereas paid social at Honest, we don't, again, have that call to action. So it's just about looking at the CPMs or cost per clicks, etc., instead of looking at those conversions. I think PPC is definitely always something that works. You need to kind of, with good SEO and a great PPC strategy, those two alongside each other really work well to get you up there on the rankings. Yeah, so it's difficult. I don't necessarily have a favorite channel. It depends. Making sure your website is in good stead SEO wise, I think, is one of the most important though.
Yeah, for sure. And then when you got to Honest, then what did you find? So, you know, you come into Honest Burgers, you know, looking at after the digital marketing side of things, you know, were you sort of applying the learnings from Hawksmoor, or was it a completely different gig?
Yeah, so we were quite far down the line at Hawksmoor with CRM and trying to better that as much as possible and working on like behind the scenes loyalty. So not an outright loyalty scheme, but that kind of trying to increase loyalty just through CRM and make the customers feel like they are part of something without joining a scheme. Honest, we're using MailChimp. So that was a bit of a shock to come into that. And I think one of the first things I did was, right, we need to get rid of MailChimp. Great for kind of like small businesses if you're sending out updates to your entire database, but apps got absolutely zero targeting or segmentation qualities to that platform. So got Airship on board. Mm-hmm. who obviously are really great in the hospitality industry, and then started trying to understand more about the database and what we were doing. And then, yeah, I guess that's, they had a, Honest has a, had a agency, a creative agency for paid social. And we were spending quite a lot of money on them, in terms of not how much they cost, but as amount, the amount of media spend across Meta and TikTok. And I was almost, I was like, this is amazing, but this is so shocking about how much we're spending. So trying to kind of pivot to that. And that was a really, for the first kind of year and a half to like up until recently, was a major platform for us. However, we're slightly changing tactics this year in terms of paid social. But yeah, it was about, it was, it's, it, I don't think you know how much you know until you move somewhere else.
Yeah.
Then, oh, I can do that thing here. And then make a difference.
Yeah, I get that quite a lot. You know, I go in to see a new business because obviously I'm kind of consulting more.
Yeah.
From the outside, you're maybe going to see one of the brands that you're a huge fan of and you're thinking, these guys must have it licked, you know? And then you go in and you just, you know, you see that nothing's joined up, nobody talks to each other, you know, all these things. And you're just like, oh, right, okay, all right, I can add some value here, which is always really nice. And then what's your experiences been on paid social then? You know, are you seeing Meta being kind of less effective? What are you finding with TikTok as well? You know, what's working?
Yeah, TikTok, much lower CPMs.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a great platform for food. Obviously, short form content wins, food porn wins. But we still do use Meta in the form of Instagram, Facebook. And so we kind of see the three placements being TikTok and then Instagram Reels and Instagram Feed. So obviously with paid social, testing is so important. So testing creatives, testing audiences, and just seeing what's working and constantly going in and optimizing. So where it's actually going to come in-house now. So I love social advertising. I think it's a good way of spending money and being able to see those rewards and return that you're getting on that spend. And so we're losing the creative agency, and we're going to be bringing it in-house. So I'll be managing the kind of optimization and creation of those campaigns. Also, with the advancements that the platforms have now with AI, you've got the kind of... what do they call it? It's the TikTok smart campaigns and then the Meta advanced something, I don't know. But they're both using AI for you to serve those ads to the people that they believe is going to resonate with most. So they're really great platforms to use. They've got their downs, but I think there's lots to do out there. And I think it scares a lot of people if you're like, if you've never done it before. Yeah. But actually just getting into the platform, you know, literally I would just watch YouTube videos on how to create those campaigns and best practice. I've been able to speak to agencies who are well-versed in those and learn from them as well. So I'm excited to kind of take that next responsibility on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting with the advertising side of things. And come on to that in a wee sec. What about Facebook then? So you're saying not Facebook, and I hear that a lot. Is there just no value in Facebook anymore?
We just see much better engagement from Instagram. It's when you don't have massive, massive budgets, you want to cover the best, the kind of best place possible. I'm sure, you know, companies outside of hospitality will still use Facebook. Obviously it's good for maybe like the slightly older market, but I think in terms of engagement and what we're trying to do, our customers are on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah, I'm always so torn, you know, because you know, your head's telling you, or maybe it's your heart's telling you, you know, there's still some kind of value in it. And Alison Battersby and I usually do a yearly boot campy thing for Propel, and usually one of the slides, it's a great slide, it's usually from, is it We Are Social or one of these, and it says, you know, the biggest in the world, and then also in terms of engagement too, like total, not hospitality.
Yeah.
And I just stand with that slide every year and I'm just like, Facebook's still huge, you know, like it's just still, there's still something. But you're right, you know, you've got to prioritise, you've got, you mean, you know your audience better than anyone. So, yeah. you know, you go where the eyeballs are. I think it's interesting as well on engagement rate and all that stuff. So are you able to translate those KPIs into pounds, shillings and pence, or are you focusing on getting an email address, or, you know, what's the kind of end game for that, or is it just getting that brand awareness going?
Yeah, with Honest, it's a lot of brand awareness, but ideally when you're spending what we were spending on a campaign, you want to see some return, and specifically my execs want to see a return. I'm also in that camp of I don't want to chuck money at something and just let's hope it's doing something. So we look at CPMs as a key metric. So looking at...
So just for people listening, we've said CPM a few times. CPM is?
Cost per mil. So it's like a cost per thousand.
Cost per thousand, yeah, yeah.
We look at a CPM on Meta, and this is going to change for each industry, maybe restaurant group, and who your audience is, but we're looking at like below £3 on Meta and then below £2 on TikTok. However, that ebbs and flows throughout the year. So because we don't have that conversion and that call to action to go through to a booking, what we do is we actually look at the sales data and what's coming in from revenue. So what has the previous 3 weeks before the campaign started, what was the rolling average of weekly revenue? What's the rolling average of the weekly revenue during the campaign and then the 3 weeks after? And has there been, you know, an increase around that campaign time? However, it is so difficult because there's so many different factors. So seasonality, if you're comparing to like for likes, there might have been a train strike last year. And so, you know, now we're looking at train strikes, there's bank holidays, there's weather that affects whether people are coming in. So it is really difficult, but, and it's not concrete evidence, but it's nice to actually sit back and look at the actual sales that are coming in. Whereas at small, we were just looking at those conversions through to the booking page. So it's an interesting one, but a bit of a longer answer to your can you change that, can you measure that in terms of revenue? No, but we can see certain indicators,
yeah, sort of uplift. And thinking about your time at Honest Burgers as well, has there been a campaign you've been like extremely proud of? You know, has there been something that's really been like a punch in the air sort of yes moment?
Yeah, so I would go back to our smashed launch probably, which was October 22. And it was the first campaign that I'd been at Honest for probably what's that, like 7-8 months. And it was completely omni-channel. So it was the collateral in store. It was the posters in store. It was the A-boards outside the restaurants. It was, we did a full website takeover and changed the whole branding of the website, the colors to kind of match the smashed branding. And sorry, I should probably explain. Honest are the thicker patty burgers classically. However, we brought on the thinner smashed patty where you smash the patty into the grill and you get that kind of crispy Maillard reaction that you would get with steak. And we launched 4 burgers to kind of join our menu, and they are kind of the value entry. It was a great acquisition piece because you could and can still get a burger and chips for under £10, which at an establishment like ours, you would probably expect to be paying more. And we actually know people think they pay more because of the research we do on the cost perception is people think we're more expensive than we are, which is really frustrating.
Yeah.
But compared to competitors, it was a really great offering. But we were able to have that campaign run across every single channel, and it took over for like 3 weeks. And I think you can really see the value there of a campaign like that when it's completely omni-channel.
And has the Smashburger stayed on the menu?
They have, yeah. Yeah, and we now do occasionally smashed specials. And so we do a monthly special every month. And when those smash special comes in, they are extremely popular. It's a really great value acquisition item on the menu to kind of grab that. It's a lighter burger, so you're not having a super heavy burger. It's a nice lunch option. But yeah.
Nice. And then when you're talking about omni-channel there, so when you're working across, you know, different platforms and also offline and all the rest of it, what's any tips for working with the wider marketing team as well? Because sometimes, you know, I've worked in a few businesses and they're seen as that's the person that screws about on social or whatever, you know, and, there's a lot of connection just isn't there. So how do you make sure that it's all, you know, coming from the same brand and it's uniform across everything?
Well, so like it starts with our head of brand, Annabelle. She's great. She's been with us nearly a year, I think, between 6 months to a year. And she leads the calendar. So she'll decide kind of what campaigns are running. And what we're going for this year is like 5 key campaigns throughout the year that we're going to make those kind of big splash omni-channel where it's going to be, you know, online and offline. Obviously, it helps that I run a lot of the digital. So we know that kind of all of the messaging there across website, across email, across page is going to be the same. And then I also have a social media exec, Paris. She's amazing. She creates amazing content. So Annabelle and I will kind of sit down with her, and as a three, we're kind of pulling together all the messaging for that campaign. So it's really, really about good team communication. We've got regular meets Monday morning at the beginning every week. We sit down as a team. Adam, our head of food, will come up with the product, and then Annabelle will kind of look at the messaging, and then we'll all execute it as a team, right down to local marketing, which Barry and Joe run. So we're not a massive team, but just that team communication, I think, is super important, making sure that we're covering all bases on those big campaigns.
Well, I'm so pleased you're saying about a campaign, because I see it very rarely in hospitality these days. You know, it's very, very rare. And it's great that, you know, your campaigns are always noticeable, really. But yesterday I saw a great one from Green King. And about the rain and the pints and stuff. And I just feel like we've lost the art of that, you know, because everything's panic stations, need sales now. And you just don't really tend to see that. I mean, in the hospitality and digital, you know, are there any brands that you look to that you think are doing an incredible job, or do you look outside of hospitality for your inspiration, really?
I mean, I think everyone's great in their own right. You know, some have great content, some have great emails. I think I stole one of Sean's ideas at Arcade when he did the train strikes, and they sent out a voucher worth of was it a travel card in London,
right?
But then so he sent out in an email, it was £9.70 or something like that. Come and claim your £9.70 day travel card because of the train strikes at Arcade. I loved that campaign.
Yeah,
and I kind of sent out vouchers in future train strikes, which performed really well. I think social wise, outside of hospitality, I think Innocent are amazing, and their emails as well. Their tone of voice, they have down to a T joining conversation outside of their realm. And, you know, the hot topic, like things like Bake Off, and they'll be tweeting along with the Bake Off, and it's got nothing to do with Innocent Juice. I think they do it really well in terms of like social conversation. I think Tortilla are really fun on social.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
They come out with some great memes and videos and things. And I believe when I was speaking to them, they just had someone running their TikTok who was working in one of the stores.
Oh, wow. I'm
not sure if it's still her or whatever, but yeah, they just had someone from one of the stores doing the TikToks, and she was doing such a great job. Yeah. So it's really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing as well. People can be sort of restricted on budgets and, oh, I need a manager for this, a manager for that. Like, there'd be so much talent within your organisation of people, you know, friends of friends, you know, and all these kind of things. Where, you know, you'd be able to deploy that talent, you know, really, really easily.
A creative agency for the hospitality sector, Saved by Robots create compelling brands and memorable experiences through great design and engaging storytelling. From Scottish Restaurant of the Year Sugar Boat to Tipjar, the digital tipping platform that's taken over the world, Saved by Robots excel at bringing ideas to life. As well as developing new concepts and refreshing existing brands, the robots provide outsourced graphic design to help multi-site operators grow with confidence. Check out their work and get in touch at savedbyrobots.com.
Hi, it's me, Mark McSee, with a quick message. Just to let you know, my day job, obviously, some of you might know, is being a brand and marketing advisor, strategist, coach, all these things for tech, B2B and hospitality businesses. Just to let you know that I'm actually going to have a couple of wee spaces, I think, opening up over the next few months. So if you need a me in your life and in your business to help you get more famous and help you grow those sales, then please get in touch. It's mark@supersonic.marketing, and I would love to hear all about your business and obviously help you too. And I'll be using experience from Pret, Dishoom, Rosa's Thai, Holiday Extras, SSP, Costa, and many, many more. So if you need a friendly neighbourhood brand and marketing advisor, then look no further and give me a wee shout. Also, if you can tell all your pals, that'd be really helpful too.
Streamline Event Admin with Triple Seat, the ultimate event management software for your hospitality venue. Join over 15,000 venues globally managing any type and size of event with Triple Seat. Our web-based software saves up to 30 plus hours of event admin time per month. Used by Daisy Green, Aqua, Nobu, Putshack, and many more, join Triple Seat today and grow your event business. Book a demo today at tripleseat.com.
And then I was thinking also about things like, you know, the link from digital into your marketing as well. So, you know, whether it's kiosks and your EPOS and loyalty schemes and that kind of thing. So you got things like that going on within Honest Burgers as well?
So we haven't got kiosks.
Mm-hmm.
We want that kind of human touch at point of ordering. However, we are looking to expand in the QSR market probably next year now or later this year. And that is a whole nother project. But in terms, sticking to Honest, loyalty is my big project for this year, which I'm extremely excited about. It's all I think about at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's all I'm reading about. I attended an amazing event yesterday at Ogilvy about loyalty and what Brits want from loyalty. And the cost of living crisis has just made loyalty even more to the forefront of the people of the UK's minds. So it's a really exciting time in that space. We are changing EPOS over to Vitamojo. So that is going to allow us to have a really great foundation for a tech stack. Airship have an amazing integration into them, and then we're looking at various different loyalty platforms, in particular Como, and what plugs into Vitamojo and how we can possibly launch loyalty. I don't want it to be standard have five burgers, get your sixth free. I want it to be really smart. I want it to be really intelligent. Como have like AI behind the scenes, and you can set up rules based on sending out offers to people based on their visit probability using AI and machine learning. So it's a really exciting time for that kind of tech coming in and utilizing AI to be able to a one-man band team such as me in terms of digital to actually be able to run a loyalty program is really exciting and just increasing the efficiencies there.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, loyalty, because I think so many people put so much effort into acquisition and they just forget the loyalty thing. There's a couple of things I always think with loyalty. One is, I think most people have got it wrong, you know, in that it's, you know, a vehicle for you to rinse the people that come to you the most by just, you know, flash sale or this or that, you know. So, you know, I'm always quite fascinated. It's good, great that you went to that Ogilvy thing, you know, and especially if, you know, Rory Sutherland's, you know, part of that thinking as well. You know, you'll be feeding into that, I'm sure. And just that psychological behaviour, you know, and I've used the example a few times. I went to Gales lately in Brighton, of which now there's three, would you believe? But I went in a Sunday afternoon, wet day, not very busy, whatever. And anyway, went on the app, and it was Vita Mojo to do the digital kind of stamp card app thing. Got my points, whatever. Thought, well, lovely, that was ideal. However, on top of that, then they were like, oh, can we give you a kind of little bundle to take away with you, you know, just as a, you know, free thing. And it was, you know, sourdough bread, obviously, you know, loads of cake, those little pink pistachio cakes, the rose things. And you were just like, okay, now this is getting super interesting when you're sort of smashing the two things together. But yeah, I mean, I think in hospitality as well, with loyalty, it's great if you're working with partners that have got that intelligence and the AI, and because you want to be getting to that Tesco Club Card, Dunnhumby sort of levels, you know. But I think it will be super interesting to see that. Yeah, it's a big area, and also I was really intrigued to see that Gusto, the sort of Midland sort of Italian kind of group, they've started subscription. Subscription loyalty sort of thing. So I've been talking to a few clients about it for a while now, and I think that's going to be super interesting as well.
Subscription is definitely, I mean, Pret, for example, subscription model has done well, but you can't help but think that you're just, are people sharing that around? And, you know, it's
Netflix model, right?
Yeah. It's an interesting one. So I, going back to the Ogilvy event, because I think it's super interesting that unfortunately Rory Sutherland couldn't attend, so they had the head of behavioural science do a talk. And there were two things that stuck with me. So the first was they tested with a client a loyalty stamp card, and it was 8 stamps and then you get your 9th free. It had eight, you know, stamp blocks on there. And then the second loyalty card was 10 stamps and then get your 11th free, but we'll give you the first 2 stamps. So you still had to get 8 coffees or whatever it was. Yeah. But that giving someone the go ahead to feel like you're already on the journey, that loyalty card performed better, which I think is so interesting. And when you put behavioral science behind loyalty, this talk was unbelievable. It's extremely, extremely insightful. The other one was kind of looking at the surprise and delight model. So there were two pigeons, and if you'd kind of had a pigeon press a button and they'd get some food, then they'd eat it and then, you know, go off, and when they're hungry again, they'll come back. If you had them completely random when the food comes out, and they'll keep pressing it as much as they possibly can until they're getting the food and until they're understanding, you know, whatever. I'm not sure pigeons are that intelligent, but...
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be pigeonist. Yeah.
But it's that surprise and delight, and not giving someone just this is what you're going to get, I think means that people are going to be more engaged. So I definitely want our loyalty scheme to have that element of surprise and delight, but as well as kind of earning, whether that point, that's points or stamps. We're kind of going through the creative stage of the mechanism at the moment, but yeah, it's really exciting. I think you can do it wrong, like you say, and just end up giving away loads of stuff for free, but keeping them engaged is the most important.
Yeah, well, and also giving it away and you're not really getting that sort of thanks back, you know, because of the way that you're doing it. And you're absolutely right. I mean, we obsessed over it at Pret, which was, you know, that surprise and delight. I mean, hence the joy of Pret at the time, where, you know, you got your free coffee randomly because you had a blue purse that day or whatever, you know, and it was all, the teams were allowed to kind of maybe make up a little rule for the day, you know, everyone with a Polish accent or whatever it was. So, you know, and I worked in the stores, shops sometimes, and what one of the best days ever was in Milton Keynes, where a student lady had forgotten her purse, and she got to the, you know, the counter, and she'd forgotten her money, and I was enabled and empowered to go, that's on me.
Mm-hmm.
And she started crying, and you're just going, and it was like, I don't know, 1658 or something, I can't even remember, but yeah, it was just like, it just felt, and she'll remember that for a long time, you know. But I think, you know, so I love him or hate him, you know, I still quite enjoy some of Gary Vaynerchuk stuff, but his Thank You Economy book is actually well worth a wee read or a wee audio book. And it's a lot about surprise and delight and how to do it. You know, and I always think that, you know, so there's a kind of model in there, which is a bit of subscription, a bit of loyalty, a bit of this. Interesting, I was doing a bit of research for a client the other day, just on the points and stamps thing. And points definitely beat pounds. But I'm not sure, it's a really good question. I'm not sure how stamps versus points performs.
Yeah, no? It's an interesting one.
Yeah, that'll be good to look at. But, well, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I think what you're saying about the Pret thing as well is loyalty shouldn't just be digital. It should involve that old school hospitality. So that's a massive thing, honest. We have off masters, old school hospitality masters, which is a point in your career as you progress. You can become an off master, and that is someone who really, really knows how to work a table, how to make them feel good, how to make them feel like they're, you know, part of Honest and they're having a great experience. And loyalty shouldn't just be about the digital experience and what you're getting. It should be about that old school hospitality that you're receiving when you're in the restaurant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think of this often. I used to have an office across from the one in Marketplace, if it's still there. And George was the manager there at the time, don't know if he's still in the business. And he, because we used to order two or three times a week, because we'd just be working late and that would be our dinner, usually be a wee beer or something. And then it became, George would give you the odd thing, or if it was really busy and we were going to eat in, he'd be like, right, well, I'll call you when we've got a free table. And then one of the times we didn't go, to be honest, for a little while, and I'm sure he called me or he stopped me as I was walking past. Not to say, you know, what are you doing, but just to check everything was okay. And he was like, yeah, we've missed you. And that's loyalty.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's a two-way thing. And you know, loyalty, I always think as well, just starts with just being recognised.
Yeah.
The power of someone going the usual, or, oh, how have you been? How's your daughter? Whatever it is, you know. I think that's just incredibly powerful, because increasingly in the world that we're in, we don't get that, right? It's all quite anonymous and transactional.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking about time as well, but there's a couple other things I was just going to sort of cover. So in terms of digital channels as well, and especially straying into things like TikTok, where some brand values are out the window slightly, how are you making sure that you're keeping things honest in terms of its look and feel and tone of voice and all these things, or have you got a little bit of flex in those areas?
I definitely think, as you say, there's a bit of flex in TikTok. I think it allows you to be a little bit more fun, a little bit more rebellious. Honest is a fun brand anyway. It's a lot easier to do the social strategy for Honest than it was for Hawksmoor, I tell you. And so it allows us to have that fun on TikTok. It allows you to, you know, do these random trends and jump on those. Paris is so great at kind of finger on the pulse for TikTok. So that, as you say, it almost goes out the window slightly, but it definitely does fit into the fun, rebellious tone that we have as well. Mm. I think it's important to have like your core content pillars. And at Honest, we have a great story. We are really transparent about, you know, our supply chain, about how Tom and Phil set up the business, and they're still part of it. It's very founder led, and Tom is very much still involved. And so it's really nice to be able to have, it's quite easy to just talk through the brand story of Honest because it is so good. And I guess, so last year with the social paid social campaigns, we had either innovation, quality, or value as a key topic. And each social paid campaign would be around one of those. And that's how we kind of strategized the year in terms of the comms, because those are kind of three core pillars for us. Mm-hmm. And I think it will be similar moving forward this year as well. So I guess it's about, to wrap that up, it's about what are those key content pillars, and then how can you use the different channels to talk about those. And I think the way forward is just omni-channel campaigns, pick those key moments throughout the year and put all of your effort into multi-channel campaigning.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. It's getting much more, and you know, much more fluid, much more fluid. It's quite interesting, you know, when I'm selling my services, I suppose, you know, people still buy digital and social and normal marketing separate. It's really weird, but, you know, you just see it as one and the same. You know, it's all for the greater good of hopefully sales and things like that. Last thing I was going to say, just in terms of future stuff then, so any sort of trends or exciting things that you're going to be working on, you know, coming up, and also just, you know, what's in store for Honest Burger over the next little while?
Yeah, so I tend to attend quite a lot of events at the moment. Everyone is talking about AI, obviously.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
If you scroll through LinkedIn, you know. I think it's scaring a lot of people. I don't think people should be scared. I think you might not know that you're using it already. Like I said, the Meta Advantage Plus and the TikTok Smart Performance campaigns both use AI. So if you're setting up campaigns on social with those, they're using AI already. It has been around for a while. It's just the launch of ChatGPT has made it a lot more prevalent that you can kind of have that conversational AI. And so I think it's, in that sense, it's going to help teams become more efficient. I think there's some really exciting things regarding SEO with the use of AI. So tools like there's one called Twin Word and Phrase, with really great tools for SEO, or SEO.ai. It can kind of help do your keyword research, help your content writing. There's tools that you can put your website through, and it can help you look at optimization. And I think maybe with those teams that are smaller, who don't have that agency support, are going to really be able to kind of help move SEO forward in terms of content writing and keyword research. For Honest, it's going to be loyalty. So we are really focusing on how we can launch that later this year. I'm hoping for a summer launch. So watch this space. We're going to be working with Vitamojo. We're going to hopefully be introducing pay at table. As I said, we don't have those data points at the moment because very little people sign in to Wi-Fi or make a booking. So we actually did a piece of work with DataHawks and Vic. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks back, only 6% of our database is trackable. So when we're sending emails, it's a very small amount of whether we know they're going to come back in. So the introduction of Pay at Table and loyalty is going to allow us to collect that first party data and measure better. And with the cookieless future and Google Consent Mode version 2, everyone needs to be collecting first party data wherever they can. So that's, yeah, really important, I think. And that's what I'm looking out for at the moment.
Yeah. Why do they make it harder for us?
I know.
Every year. So a couple of questions, fun questions to end the episode then. So we've got a mark out of 10 questions. So favourite city to eat in?
I am going to go with New York.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had the very great pleasure of going to New York last year with Honest in Brooklyn. And they took us to the brewery, the Brooklyn Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
And we basically went on a burger eating mission. One day was smashed burgers, the next day was fried chicken. So yeah, we ate a lot of burgers. I think it's a great burger scene. I think it's a really fun city and you can eat anything you want there.
Yeah. Was there a best burger out there?
We went to so many different places. And I have to say, they were good, but you thought they were going to blow your mind. We only went to smashed burgers,
right,
because that's kind of what we were looking at developing and the menu development side of that. There's this fried chicken place in Brooklyn, which was absolutely insane. If you want to know, you'll have to message me on LinkedIn because I can't remember it.
Well, we can maybe put it in the notes then if you remember. Yeah. And then what's your favourite hotel?
I really like the Standard in Kingsville.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was actually luckily enough, and I have no idea why, to be taken around some of the rooms on a little mini tour.
Mm-hmm.
Those rooms are insane. Number one, the views are amazing up there.
Yeah.
They've got amazing rooftop bars and restaurants at the top. Some of the rooms have hot tubs outside and you've got the view over King's Cross, but it's weirdly quite private at the same time.
Yeah.
And you can see everyone else. I think it's really quirky. It's a very, very cool hotel.
Yeah, it's almost like a bit of Shoreditch in King's Cross or so. You know, it's just like kind of really, yeah, left field. But yeah, it's like a cracking place, but a little bit pricey. And then favourite coffee shop, and what would you have?
So I don't drink coffee.
Uh-huh.
However, I was listening to your episode with Sam and Dan from Ayrshire.
Why? Uh-huh.
And Sam said Greg's, and I am in with him.
Okay. What if they can take your money?
Yeah, I love a sausage roll.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on O2 Priority, you've got to get that free sausage roll on Friday.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Whoa. Yeah, they had a real problem yesterday, didn't they? I think all the shops were down.
Yeah.
I saw one of the notices that said, sorry, we're not taking credit cards. Tills are down and our staff can't do maths.
I love that.
So somebody just stuck that up. Yeah, it's quite funny. And then favourite bar and pub, I suppose. And what would you have to drink? What's your poison?
There are so many bars. I don't know if I have one. A pub, it's slightly easier. I love the Pig's Head in Clapham Old Town.
Uh-huh, okay.
They are kind of like farm to fork, really, really great food. Amazing roasts. I did order the Pig's Head once, which is quite terrifying, but I went for it. But anywhere with a good Negroni, I love. Yeah.
Nice. And are you always equal parts, or do you supercharge the gin?
No, equal parts.
Because Stanley Tucci, he super boosts it.
Really?
Yeah. Extra gin. Yeah. Oh, certainly during COVID, that's what he was doing. And just before we do the last one, what's your Honest Burgers order?
My Honest, I'm a fried chicken burger. So we have a buffalo fried chicken burger. And then I'm going to go, obviously, all of our burgers come with chips.
Yeah.
So we always get the rosemary chips.
Yeah.
I menu hack. You can any sauce on any burger you can get as a dip. So the brown butter mayo that's in our smashed burgers, I get on the side for to dip my chips in.
That's a great hack.
Yeah. And then probably onion rings on the side. If I'm going for a burger, then I'll get chicken wings or chicken tenders. But yeah, onion rings on the side if I've got a fried chicken burger in my hand.
Very nice. And then last one, favourite restaurant, and what would you be having?
Oh my God, this is so difficult. I think, so I'm going to have to go with recent restaurants, and possibly. Cole, I don't know how you say it,
in Borough.
They are a kind of like Southern Thai. I went there, amazing restaurant, really good. And then just round the corner, actually, Rambutan, which is Sri Lankan. That was epic as well. I will, of course, forever love Hawksmoor.
Yes.
In my heart. It ruins steak for me, so I can't eat it anywhere else. Yes. And I basically had it injecting into my veins during COVID.
Oh, God. And a wee Shaky Pete's ginger brew.
Yeah, obviously a Shaky Pete's ginger brew.
That's the best. That's the best. Nice. All right, then. Well, I'll love you and leave you. Thank you so much for being on today. That was such a good chat, and I think people get a lot from it, you know. So thanks for sharing your wisdom and all of your experience.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day. Enjoy the sun.
Yes. Well, if it comes out here. Oh, it was yesterday. It was yesterday.
New skies in London.
I'll get the train. Okay. Right. See you soon. Thanks, Gemma. Cheers. Bye-bye. So that was Gemma Barter, Senior Digital Marketing Manager at Honest Burgers. That was a great chat. Lots of brilliant stuff covered, looking at how you can make your digital better, how you should approach it, what you should be focusing on. And it's always good to hear about Honest Burgers and the team and know that it's going from strength to strength. It really is a bit of a little national treasure for me anyway. And now I'm really in the mood for a tribute and some rosemary chips. Oh, and some onion rings as well. So thanks to Gemma, thanks to the team, and I'm glad they are doing great things with Vita Mojo too, who are obviously the sponsors of the show. So go well, Gemma, and hopefully I'll see you soon for a little tribute and rosemary chips. This podcast is sponsored by Vita Mojo, the all-in-one restaurant management platform helping operators grow ATV, reduce tech complexity, and serve guests better. Just visit vitamojo.com/supersonic and get in touch with the team right away. That's vitamojo.com/supersonic. So this is me, Mark McSee, signing off for another podcast, and I'm really looking forward to the next time we're together. Next time, we'll hear from many, many more interesting people with top tips, tricks, and tales that will make your brand boom.